It's great to see you all at Women to Women. We've got a full house tonight. Pastor Hugh's removed the side seats. That's why it looks like there's a full house this evening. It's great to see you all. We've got some new faces in this evening. If you're joining us at Women to Women for the first time, as Mary has already shared this evening, a very, very warm welcome to you. We are in session two of a brand new series. So if you are here for the first time this evening, let me just share with you. Here at Women to Women, we are a people of vision. And every year we are led with vision from God's word, whether it's a wow word or a motto text. And this year we're looking at that text in Hebrews chapter 12 that says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those heroes of our faith that have gone on before us. They have run their race. And we are looking to their lives, to their witness, to help us to run our race well. We're running our race, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And we are his cheerleaders, because not only are we running our own race, but we are cheering each other on, aren't we? And we're going to be cheering on Lisa tomorrow night, as she shares at Renfrew Christian Fellowship. And we're going to be cheering you on, Gabriella, tomorrow night as you lead worship at Refuge Church. Because that's what we're all about at Women to Women. We're all about cheering each other on. And in our new series, we're looking at a heroine in the faith. And her name was Esther. And we were introduced to our hero last week. I think everyone will know the story of Esther quite well. But last week, we pondered Esther's pain. You know, when we read that story as a little girl, and we talked about Queen Esther, and all of that lovely pamper treatment that she went through that we're going to look at this evening, quite often, we'd miss out that bit about the fact that she endured pain. She suffered. She knew what it meant to be rejected, to be abandoned, and to experience pain. But we also heard last week that what was meant for our harm, God can turn around for good. Amen? So raise your hands if you like a little bit of pampering. Yeah, quite a lot of hands in the house there. A spa day or an afternoon at the hairdresser's. Why not book in with the lovely Lisa? Or perhaps to go along to the nail bar. You know, we live in a fast-paced world today. Many of you, I know, are working, juggling careers and ministries. So it's really important that we do find time for rest. Rest is commanded. We're going to do, at some point, I don't know when we're going to squeeze it in, but at some point we're going to do a series on rest. I'm sure we will. So having a rest is really important. What you do during that time of rest, well, that's entirely up to you. But some of you might like a little bit of pampering. The big business today have bought into that as well, because they are pumping up the prices and all of that pampering. There's all sorts of varieties of different treatments that you can have today. Who's had a massage? Yeah. Hot stones or facial Swedish massages or body scrubs, all kinds of treatments that are available out there today. But intensive beauty, don't worry, I'm sure it's nothing that I've said. It's baby James. We pray for a rested night for grace in the family. So pampering, it's not a new thing. It's been around for many, many years. And in this new series of Esther, we will find out tonight that Esther, along with those 400 other virgins, knew exactly what pampering was all about, because they underwent a year-long beauty regime in the harem in order to present themselves before the king. Think about it. They didn't just get a 50-minute hot scrub or a 25-minute facial. They got a year-long beauty regime. Who would like some of that? I know I would. So we'll return to that beauty regime a little bit later, but let's just have a look at where we're at in our series. So I said that I'm going to go over the next 4 weeks, so it will be 3 weeks now, we're going to look at this very familiar story. And in this very familiar story, we're going to look at 5 points. And they all begin with P, just to make it easy for us. And last week, we looked at Esther's pain. Can I just say, if you missed the first session, I encourage you to go and listen again. You will find it on the front page of the Mossvale Community Church page. Am I right, Linda? And if you need help, go and see Linda, because we because we went through it tonight. It's very easy to find. And if you just look for Pastor Debbie, Esther's pain, you can listen again from last week. So we've already looked at Esther's pain, but our overall title for this series is Esther, Daughter of the King. And we established last week that we're calling her a daughter of the King because she is the daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord God Almighty. And if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then you too are a child of God. And I wonder, are you living out your King's purpose for your life? There's a question for you to ponder in the week ahead. Are you living out your King's purpose for your life? Knowing that you are God's daughter, I believe, changes everything. Knowing that I am a daughter of the King transformed my whole life. It transformed my way of thinking. It transformed the way I live my life. It gives you a strength and a boldness. It helps you to live every day with a purpose, God's purpose for your life. When you know that you are God's child, it allows you to step into your destiny. I've said it many, many times before. You will not step into your purpose in life unless you first know your identity. We need to get that bit right. When you know who you belong to, the King of Kings, then, dear child, you will know your purpose. Identity leads to purpose. Did you know that God has a plan for your life? He does have a plan for your life. Turn to the lady beside you and say, God has a plan for my life. Now, in hearing those muffled voices, I'm not sure if you truly believe it. Okay? I was looking for a wee bit more enthusiasm there, women to women ladies. Now, you may be hearing that tonight and you may be thinking to yourself, okay, dear sister next to you, God has a plan for my life. But you know what? I don't really know if I believe it. I can understand why God has a plan for Gabriella. I can actually see and hear that God has a plan for Gabriella. I can believe that God's got a plan for Lisa because she's speaking at a women's meeting tomorrow night. So I can see that God's got a plan for her life. I can understand why God's got a plan for Corinne's life, because if it wasn't for Corinne, the church would fall down. And that is quite literally true. And every ministry in it. But I can't understand why you would say, Pastor Debbie, that God's got a plan for me. Maybe you're here and you may be thinking, but you don't know what I've been through. You're saying that. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know my past. You don't know what's happened to me. How can you say without knowing that God has a plan for my life? Well, let me tell you something. God's got a plan for your life. I don't need to know what you've been through. I don't need to know where you've been. What I do know is that God loves you. And even if you've messed up, and even if that stuff in your past you're not proud of, let me tell you something. God doesn't see you as that person. He sees the potential within you, what he has for you. So let me tell you, dear sister, God's got a plan for your life. You may feel like you've been set aside on the sidelines, watching everyone else flourish, but you've been left out. Perhaps you're here and you've experienced deep rejection in your life, and that's why you feel like God has not got a plan for you, because you've constantly been betrayed and let down. Or maybe like we heard last week, which was an incredibly difficult session for many, I know, because we looked at the mistreatment of women and the fact that sadly some of us have been mistreated, abused, rejected, let down, abandoned. And sometimes when we go through things like that in life, ladies, it can cause us to have a low self-esteem, can't it? And it can cause us to think that, you know what? My life's always going to be like this. God couldn't possibly have something for me, but let me tell you something, God has something even better for you. Because you might feel like you've been set aside, but let me tell you, you have been set apart. You have been set apart by God for a greater, a grander purpose. What was meant for your heart, God will turn around for your good. Let me tell you, that's the truth. Receive that tonight in Jesus' name. So tonight I want to move on to our second P. And our second P is preparation. Everyone say preparation. Preparation. Esther's preparation. I wonder what God is preparing you for. So I've mentioned that Esther had to undergo a year-long pamper session in order to prepare her for that day that she would be presented before her king. Let's pick up where we left off last week, chapter 2, reading from verse 8, lots of scripture. Stay with me here. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought into the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge over the harem. She pleased him and won his favor. Immediately he provided her with beauty treatments and special foods. He assigned her 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace, and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. We'll come back to that. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Before a young woman's turn came to go to King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the woman, 6 months with oil and myrrh, and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. This is the good Estee Lauder stuff. You know, this is the stuff that takes off 10 years. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given to her with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening she would go there, and in the morning return to another part of the harem to care in the care of that person. The king's eunuch was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless she was pleased with her and summoned her by name. The beauty contest continues. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman, Mordecai had adopted the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women. And she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. We heard of Vashti. She was sent packing 4 years ago. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all the nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. Now moving on, Mordecai uncovers a conspiracy. Ooh, Verse 19. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, but Esther had kept secret her family background and her nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do so. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and he told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were impaled on poles. All this was recorded in the book of Annals in the presence of the king. Who said the Bible was boring? Not us, a woman to woman. May God bless the reading of his words. So what do we find out here? Well, she's now in the palace, along with the other virgins, and they are all going through this beauty regime in order to prepare themselves to have their moment with the king. Now, we read there that Esther has found favor not only with the chief eunuch Haggai, but also with the style team. That's what I'm calling them. Gokwan's style team. She has found favor. She's getting the best of treatments. She's being looked after. Now, we've heard last week that these women were not taken, they were not invited to come. It wasn't at their own consent. They were taken. They were taken. They were frightened. They were scared. They were in the palace. However, even in this dreadful situation, God was working things out for her good. And she was being looked after. And she had found favor. So she underwent this treatment, prescribed the best of treatments, 6 months of myrrh and 6 months of cosmetics, and you can only imagine what she smelled like by the end of it and how her skin felt. And then we read there in verse 17, the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her. He gave her a crown. He had another banquet, this time in her name. She was chosen. And we have talked a lot at Women to Women about what it means to be chosen. Many of us experience the pain of not being chosen, being sidelined and rejected. But this time, Esther's time, she was chosen. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, that sounds quite nice, all that treatment then to be chosen by the king, this opportunity. And it is good. So far, it's good that we're getting some good news, because up until this point, it was all hardship, wasn't it? It was a difficult process. But let me tell you something, this was just a small part of the preparation that God was doing in her life. The preparation was more than just some cosmetics. God was preparing this young woman for great things. Let me remind you once again, God is preparing you for great things. Now, Esther, she may have looked great on the outside, but how was she feeling on the inside? How was she feeling when she was being presented before the king, unsure of her future? What might her future look like? Perhaps you know what this feels like. To be smiling on the outside. To have on your makeup and your lipstick. Smiling to the world around you. Replying to the world around you, I'm fine, I'm fine. But perhaps screaming on the inside. I wonder if there's anyone here this evening that knows exactly how that feels. You see, Esther wasn't completely safe yet, was she? She wasn't out the woods yet. We know that because Mordecai, her relative, he kept such a good, close eye on her. He marched those palace courtyards every day, watching over her. Why? Because she was not safe. in this palace, checking in on her. He even told her to keep quiet about her identity. That tells us once again that she was in danger. She was a Jew. That's probably why the name change, Hadassah, her Jewish name, to Esther, because that would have highlighted her true identity. So it's safe to say that life wasn't a walk in the park on a summer's day yet for Esther. She'd been orphaned, abandoned. She knew what it felt like to be rejected. She was living alone in silence. Yes, she had found some favor, praise the Lord, but she was struggling to answer that question, who am I? Because she couldn't answer it. She couldn't answer who she truly was because it was for her own safety. But I wonder, are you here tonight and you struggle to answer that question? Who am I? Who am I really? Are you struggling with your identity? Perhaps like Esther, you too know what it feels like to be abandoned. Like Esther, perhaps as a child, perhaps like Esther, you know what it feels like to be mistreated, as we heard last week. Perhaps you know what it feels like to be rejected. You know, that word rejected was the word that God dropped into my heart for tonight, for this specific meeting this week. You see, I believe that there's someone, and it might just be one person in the house tonight, and I might just be speaking to you, but there's someone in the house tonight that is living rejected. And the Father wants you to live loved. Lived, living, knowing that you are loved by Him. Rejection can make such an impact in our lives. We can withdraw from certain situations and relationships out of fear of being rejected again. Those of us who have experienced rejection sometimes don't want to enter into new friendships or new relationships because we're scared that it's going to happen again. It impacts how we trust people. We enter a room expecting everyone to ignore us. No one will want to talk to me. No one will want to sit with me. There are times when people who live rejected are willing to receive scraps of love from the world because they don't believe that they're worth anything more. Let me tell you something, dear sister. Jesus loves you so much. He went to a cross. He bled and He died to show you, to express to you just how much He cares and loves you. Maybe you take every little thing personally. You find yourself nursing wounds, getting quite emotional. Maybe that is you. Maybe because you are living with the pain of rejection. God wants you to live in the freedom of His love. But often those hurts and those pains of the past, they hold us back. But the good news is, as I've just said, Jesus made a way for you to be free from the pain of rejection. Esther had been abandoned. She had gone through a difficult childhood. She's now been taken, not at her own request, but that did not prevent God from using her. Did you hear that? You may have gone through some stuff in your life. You may have gone through some pain barriers in your life. That will not prevent God from using you. God sees you. He is El Roy, the God who sees us. And He's got a plan for your life. What was meant for your harm, let me tell you once again, so that you really hear it tonight and you really believe it tonight, He can turn around for your good. Okay, God was preparing her for greater things. It says in the New Testament that greater things you will do in my name. Do you believe it? Greater things you will do in His name. God is preparing you for a greater purpose. He is preparing you for a greater destiny. So Esther had suffered from a young age, but here she was being prepared and being ready to go before the king. Now there's a lovely picture in here, if we lean in a bit deeper, of the church. In the scripture, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. And in Revelations, we read of the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. In other words, she has prepared herself. We are the brides. We are, as the church, are the bride of Christ, and we are to be prepared for our bridegroom, who is Jesus. And we are being prepared for his return. Yes, he came, he died, and he rose again. But let me tell you something. He is coming back. He is coming back. Are we ready? Are we ready for his return? So how do we prepare ourselves for our king? How do we prepare ourselves for Jesus? Well, Esther was cleansed with milk and honey. She had a good old palm olive bath. A deep cleansing treatment. But let me tell you something. Our cleansing requires a wee bit more than that. Our cleansing requires repentance. Our cleansing comes from the blood of Jesus. It's his blood that cleanses us. It's his blood that washes us clean. For you see, we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. The glory of God being Jesus. The exact representation of God. He is the only spotless perfect one. Every single one of us has fallen short of that. But he died and he bled and he died so that we might be cleansed. You know, I pastor many women. And I've done for 17 years. And I hear quite often, how could God ever love me? Because I feel so unworthy. Because I feel so unclean. And I can't tell you how many times I have heard a dear sister say those words to me. Here's the truth. None of us are worthy of his love. Not one of us are worthy of the love of a holy God. However, Jesus died to make us right with God. He died so that we could be worth his love. And he believes that you are worthy. He believes you are worth dying for. We are all sinners. But the wonderful truth is that he freely poured out his grace and mercy upon each and every one of us. He welcomes us to come and to receive that cleansing in his name. That's the beginning of a precious relationship with God. By admitting I'm a sinner, I've fallen short of the glory of God. Forgive me, Father. Come into my heart. Wash me clean. Give me some of that palm olive, Jesus. Wash me clean. Make me new. Prepare me for what you've got for me, Jesus. When we acknowledge our sin, we allow the cleansing process to begin. That is our preparation. That's what we need to do when we come before our King. So this process of cleansing, it changes our destiny. It changes our outlook. It changes our perspective. We enter into that precious relationship with Jesus and he leads us into our destiny. And then that day will come when we will all stand before our King. What a wonderful day that will be. However, Esther's preparation was not just to be beautifully presented before the King, was it? No, she had an assignment to do. She had an assignment. Let's look at her assignment. So she was being prepared by God for a big, big assignment. And it tells us in chapter 3 that this man, Haman, comes on the scene. Now, when I say the name Haman, it's a bit like the theatre where we all go, boo, okay? Because he is the baddie in the story. He was the king's right-hand man. He was the king's official. We hear here that a plan's uncovered, and we see that Mordecai and Esther help the king in this particular situation. So Haman, he's not happy. Boo, you're meant to say boo. Haman is not happy with Esther or Mordecai. For you see, Mordecai was a godly man, wasn't he? He was a God-fearing man, and he refused. He refused, a bit like David and the other guys of the time. He refused to bow down and worship anyone other than Yahweh, the one true God. For God was the only one that he would worship. So he wanted to get rid of Mordecai. So he starts to whisper in the ear of the king, trying to orchestrate his big plan. Verse 6 of chapter 3 now. He looked for a way to destroy the Jews. He wouldn't be the last person that came up with that evil plan. Isn't it interesting? When you set out to be prepared for your king, when you surrender your heart to God, when you step out in obedience, when you step up in boldness to serve him, the serpent, the enemy, is crawling around looking for a way to destroy your plans. Ever experienced that? When you take that bold step for Jesus, the enemy is there, lurking around, looking to destroy, to tell you lies. Why are you doing that? You will never succeed. No one will listen to you. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that hasn't gone through in this mind. There's no you can't, you won't, you will not that I haven't thought about. And usually while I'm preaching, there's like a four-way conversation going on in there. How many times have you considered doing something great for God, and as soon as you have tried, there's that wee voice that says, just give up. Just put your coat on and go home. I don't know how many times I've sat there on a Sunday morning and I'm waiting for the nod from Gabriel or Peter to say, come up and preach today. And there's a voice in my head that's gone, just put your coat on and go home. Nobody will see you. Just go home. You can be in your jammies in 10 minutes. And I'm not exaggerating here. It happens. And this is what happened to Mordecai. He had great work. He was doing great work. He's protecting Esther. He was being obedient to the King of Kings. He refused to worship any other god but God. But the enemy was trying to destroy him. Because that's what he does. And we need to be aware of that. When we take our stand for God, like Mordecai, while we are being prepared for all that God has for us, there is also an enemy plotting against us, which is why we need to do battle on our knees. That's why the lovely Mary invited you all to take a stand with us here at Woman to Woman, because we're about to plant a brand new ministry in a brand new area, and we know that the enemy does not like it. So we stand united, don't we? We stand united. We're standing strong. So God had a plan for Esther. He also had a plan for Mordecai. So when Mordecai was aware of Haman's plans, he was devastated and he tore his clothes off. How could our people possibly be annihilated? How dreadful this is. How could anyone plot such evil? What could we do to help? What Haman, boo, was plotting was ethnic cleansing. It was mass murder. It was genocide. Mentioned that last week. Well, it's in this next chapter, in chapter 4. I'm running late tonight. Bear with me. In chapter 4 that we read of all that Esther was actually being prepared for. In verse 14, he comes to Esther, and here are the famous words from Esther. You didn't think you were going to get them in session 2, but you're going to get it tonight. Verse 14, he convinces her by saying, if you keep quiet, if you keep quiet about all of this, Esther, if you keep quiet about this evil plan, If you keep quiet and do nothing, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. God's deliverance will come. He'll use somebody else. But he's not asking somebody else. He's asking you. He's asking you. Deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows? Open your ears now. If perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. Dear sister, perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. I said at the beginning, you may feel like your life, that you've always been set aside. Perhaps you feel like you've never had a purpose in this life. Let me remind you again that God has a plan for your life and he wants to use every single thing that you've ever been through, even your pain. Even the pain that you have been through, even the pain that you have suffered, God can use that. And he can turn it around for not only your good, but for the good and the comfort of others. Let me tell you, I am living proof of it. So what might God be calling you to today? Perhaps it's to step up into ministry. Perhaps it's to get involved. Perhaps it's to step out and care for someone else. Perhaps it's just to simply go on your knees and pray. Perhaps it's to be bolder with your testimony at work or with your family or with your partner or with your neighbors. Maybe it's to be brave. What is God preparing you for? Because let me tell you something, he has work for you to do. All that Esther had gone through, all the pain she had gone through, none of it was wasted. She was being set apart for a greater purpose. She'd gone through all that preparation to be queen. But as queen, God was preparing her to use her position to stand up for God's people. No easy assignment. She was about to go before the king into the inner courts without being invited to plead for the life of the Jews, whom she secretly was one of. The king didn't know that. And this could have cost her her life. Verse 16. If I go before the king, if I die, then I'll die. And she had a real enemy working against her. Who was he going to believe? That's our cliffhanger. Who is he going to believe? So how is she going to prepare for this? Well, that's when we'll look at next week and the next two P's of next week's session. But let me finish with this. God had a plan for Esther. She was the daughter of the King of Kings. She may well have become queen, but she was God's first. Did you hear that? She may well have become queen, but she was God's first. You may well have become that doctor. You may well have become a mother. You may well have become X, Y, and Z. But let me tell you something. That's not your identity. If you're a doctor, that's what you do. If you're a carer, that's how you serve. But first and foremost, you're God's child. The Bible says to all who believe and all who have received the Lord have the right to become children of God. And that's what you are. She was God's child first. So I've come to the end of our session this evening. Let's just pop our pens and our pads to the side as we just ponder what God is speaking tonight. This is your time. This is your moment to respond to Jesus. You were created for this moment. You were born for such a time as this. God doesn't want you to carry around or live with the pain or the horrors of the past. He doesn't want you to battle any longer with that low self-esteem, with the pain of rejection or disappointment. The Lord wants to take that from you. You may want to just turn your palms towards heaven right now as you sit silently, as you present yourself before the Lord God this evening. This is your time just to let go. If you are here tonight and you've been living rejected, maybe through the pain of abandonment or separation, just release that into God's mighty hands right now. Just tell him, I no longer want to live rejected. I want to live loved. Help me to experience the fullness of your love, O God. Perhaps you're here tonight and you recognize that God is preparing you. But in order to step into the plans and purposes that he has for your life, perhaps you realize that you need that cleansing. All that's required is a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive me, Lord. I trust in you. God is preparing you for greater. Father God, we ask in your name that you would reach out your hand, that you would take ours, and that you would lead us into that destiny that you have for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord God, you don't see us as our past or the way the world sees us. Thank you, God, that you see the potential within us for the greater that you have for us. So, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready, God, to go wherever you'll lead me, to do whatever you ask of me. Lord, prepare me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.